Welcome to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. For the next hour, you'll hear proven methods for how to live the multiple income streams dream. Ryan is passionate about helping others discover their gifts and start their own business. He's published 5 books, and his courses and group coaching programs have changed the lives of thousands of students all over the world. Ryan's books include Private Label, The Easy Way, Finding Your Grace Place, and his latest, Streams of Income. And now, here's your host, Ryan Rieger.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger. Today, we're chatting with my friend, Trey Cockrum. You might recognize the last name. His dad, Jim, has been instrumental in my life, my friend, my mentor. And Trey is just 20 years old, and he's accomplished some amazing things. Super proud of him. It's been fun seeing him grow up. But he is an amazing young man and has created an amazing business. But he started out as a wedding photographer and was shooting weddings at age 16. And now he is serving businesses with their marketing funnels and sales process. It's just incredible. You'll love this interview. You'll learn a ton from him about how he gets his clients, how he serves people, how he finds them, and then just some really good life information about conversations and relationships and how that plays a part in his business. And so you'll enjoy this interview with Trey. Trey, welcome to Streams of Income Radio. Appreciate you being on with me.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, man. I love what you guys are up to. It's really cool to kind of watch from a distance and see your guys' community grow, and I'm just happy to be on the platform. It's an honor.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, it's obviously, you know, it's a lot to do with your dad, and I love seeing how you've followed in his footsteps, but you're doing it completely different, a whole different thing. You're doing your own thing. You're not like in his shadow by any means. And you just found your own way, your own purpose, and you're killing it, which is awesome. Well, congratulations on your success. I want to talk about tell me about, for I know there's, I have, you know, people in my audience that don't even know who, you know, the Cockrum family is, or they probably listen to my story and know, you know, how much your dad and the community that we've helped build has, you know, inspired me and blessed me. But, you know, for the people that have like, hey, who's this guy? Tell them who's Trey, and just go. I love hearing people's stories. It's fascinating, and I learn a lot through it.
Absolutely. So, well, my name's Trey. I'm 20 years old. I like to start off when people ask me, tell me about yourself, and it's in a business context. You know, there's a different way I answer that question than if they're asking me like going out on a date or something. You know, so it's like, so for this, it's like, I guess the main thing is that, you know, I started my own business when I was like 16 or 17, and I actually started off, interestingly enough, super random, as a wedding photographer. And that was where I started. I just, you know, was shooting weddings, getting paid at 16, 17, like a grand, at best $2,000 for a wedding. And I'll probably shoot maybe 4 or 5 a year. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, and, by the way, I remember that when you were doing that was when you first started, you didn't even have your driver's license yet.
Nope.
And yeah, how were you getting, I know the answer, how were you getting to those venues?
I was either Ubering or my mom was driving me because she just enjoyed it. So
guys, there is no excuse. If you have an idea and you want to do it, there is going to be a way. I mean, I was so impressed I found out you were using Uber to get to your locations. And it's cool the fact that you did a great job at it. So people didn't look at you like, oh, here's some 16-year-old kid.
It was kind of a brand. I mean, honestly, people were like kind of stoked about it. Like, this is so cool. Like, this 16-year-old kid is like really good. And it was like, I always thought it was really fun because I was like, you know, I was like, it's like these little pats on the back, and I just had a good time with that. And and then also, like, I would deliver really good shots and they'd be really happy. And so it'd be so funny. Like, imagine literally going to like your brother or your sister's wedding and they tell you that the photographer's showing up in an Uber because they don't have their license yet. You're like, what on earth? How much did you pay them? Like, that's where my career started. And then I think you remember vividly, my family went through a house fire when back in 2017. I lost all my camera gear. It was a year until I finally got the insurance settlement for my camera gear. And everything wasn't fire damage, it was water damage. It was, you know, the giant hose the fireman used just soaked everything, all electronics were gone.
Gosh. So even your virtual reality gear.
Yeah, dude, I had, for those of you in your audience who may know, the Oculus brand, they had this developer kit that you had to be a game developer in order to get one. I pretended to be a game developer in order to get one of the virtual reality headsets. And that's, I remember me and Ryan playing with those back when we had a mastermind or something of some kind. But anyway, though, that's it. So moving from there, you know, I lost all my gear and I had to figure out what else I could do. And I realized that, you know, most wedding photographers take a good year or 2 years before they book their first wedding. Like, you know, something about my mentality or the way that I marketed myself or something got me booked weddings within like 4 months of starting. And so I kind of leveraged that as a case study to start working with other wedding photographers to help them market their business. And this is, you know, I didn't know at the time, but it was the entryway into just a whole new way of thinking. I'd never even considered business to business exchanges. I'd never even thought about, oh, I could start a business that serves other businesses in a certain way. Didn't even know what B2B meant, had no idea it was a term. And I started serving wedding photographers. They were paying me a little bit of money for me to set up their Facebook ads, maybe some of their social media. So at the time I did use some advertising and some creative strategies that I Googled and learned from YouTube to get some weddings. And I started getting them really good results. Like one guy went from like doing like two weddings a month to having like six a month. Like wow. It was like crazy results. Yeah. And it was just because I was running a basic Facebook ad. It was just a messenger campaign. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, Ryan. It's just straight.
Yeah.
Like have a conversation. I trained them on a script that they could use over messenger, how to get them to a call and how to move that call to an in-person meeting with the couple where they can then close. And I just developed the script and trained my clients on it and ran their ads. And they were just crushing. So then I came out with a course on how to do it yourself because I couldn't handle so many people. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're doing – my biggest day was like a $4,000 day and I was just turning 18. So it was like crazy. Like it was like a whole thing. And I was like, this is the most crazy – and you can still look it up. It's called like Wedding Photography Mastery by Trey Cock. I don't even know if the site's still up. But it was like how to shoot and edit and deliver good photos as well as the marketing end of things. Like how to actually attract – so my thing was be a marketer first and a photographer second. And that really hit people hard because a lot of artists have a hard time with marketing. So then I was like, all right, wedding photography is cool. But most wedding photographers, like there's 1% that are like doing well enough to pay me the kind of money that I want to make because I've got life goals and long-term goals. And it's really hard to reach those 1% because often they're referrals so well. So I started playing with other niches instead of serving wedding photographers. You know, I still use the same methods to get clients as I do today, Ryan. I just use Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups. You know, I just post around and there's this group of like 60,000 wedding photographers. And I started just hanging out and making friends and just sharing what I was learning about marketing. And at one point they had me live stream to the whole group and that's where I got most of it. So
you were just serving. You were going in there and just serving.
Just serving.
Wow.
Just, you know, heart. Like I could care less about money. I was 17. I didn't have any bills. You know, it's just like people, I just felt like people should pay me because like otherwise I'd get too many people wanting my help for free. It wasn't, I could care less.
Oh my gosh. Back to the wedding photography real quick, just so I don't forget it. I've had two photographers on my podcast. Their audience would probably be interested in that course. You know, you said the site may not be up anymore, but
it's so outdated. If they are listening, they should just reach out to me personally. I've got some way better things that they can do. The program is, it's 2017, you know, Facebook. Okay. It's 2017.
Sure. So, okay. Well, make sure we'll have a link. If you have a link that you can send me for them, any material that they can go through that help them get more clients. I'm sure everybody on here that no matter what niche you're in, you probably need more clients. So I want to dig into that, like your process. You shared, we had the Virtual Proven Conference. So guys, for those of you that are in the audience, you know what that is, but we have a conference every year for our community and used to be called CES. And now we changed the name to the Proven Conference and we weren't able to meet live in person this year, unfortunately. But Trey came in and talked about his methods and how he's getting these clients and broke it down. So it's we don't have to go as deep as you did on the conference, but talk about, you know, going into the groups, LinkedIn, Facebook, what do you, okay, you go into a group of, let's say it's wedding photographers. You're not going there to, hey, everybody, I have a course. I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Come look at me. What's your because I know that's not, you know, that wouldn't be allowed, number one. And number two, it's just probably not the right way to go about it. Oh, what does a post look like when you come in, or what, I imagine maybe it's more about just looking for people you can serve and answering questions, but what does that look like when you come into a group of people that you're not a part of yet? And you want to serve them. Obviously you want to make, you know, you feel like you have something to offer, and that's a paid thing, but how do you get your foot into that door and start building those relationships?
Well, you know, there's this Jim Rohn idea, and he's like, the only way to lead is by example. And so my thing is, you know, the reason why I was able to get my foot wet in the industry is because I had my own business as a case study.
Okay.
So let's say you don't have a case study. You say you're starting from scratch. You can partner with somebody online who does have the case study, and then you start going out and you deliver like that. But that being said, you know, I just go into these groups and I just, you know, have proof that this stuff works. So now my client base, like I said, I started playing with other niches. I landed on people who have like a high ticket consulting service.
Okay.
You know, coaches, course sellers, people who have like a $30,000 mastermind offer, stuff like that. You know, I mean, it's, I can help them build out the whole rest of the business and run ads. And, you know, I can help them make like a micro MST, you know, and also turn on ads so it scales, you know, way faster.
Yeah.
But that being said, like, yeah, you just serve by like example, you lead and serve by example. So you have this idea in your head of what your client's business should look like. Like, I like to draw out a visual of like where the traffic should come from, how many of them convert, what they're selling, the process of delivery. I draw it all out and I have this idealized version of what my client's business could look like. And then I try and create that either on a smaller level or on exact level myself so that I can prove that it does work, or maybe coach somebody on it for free, like a friend, and try and get them to this point, just have this proof of concept. And then I just start sharing that and saying, does anybody have any questions about how this works? Like hitting people up in comments, sending them messages, making friends, adding friends as, you know, adding colleagues as friends, peers in the group as friends, and using my personal profile for the call to action. If I'm going to have a call to action, it's not going to be in their group. I want to respect them entirely.
Sure.
But if somebody has more questions, I'll have a link, you know, on my page. Like right now, if you go to Trey Cockrum on Facebook, I think my second post is like, you know, here's a client success story. Anton went from like $4,000 a month in their business to $25,000, and I got them there in 2 months. So it's a really cool success story. it's crazy the stuff that this pulls up. For him specifically, we helped with their ad campaigns for them getting clients. Which actually, you know, if you have a budget, is an even better way than prospecting in groups, but I'll get into that maybe on a different podcast. But yeah, like just sharing and leading by example and answering.
So you would just go into a group and just start, so you might actually proactively create a post and just start sharing some golden nuggets of information. And then people start, obviously they're going to be asking you questions like, whoa, that's really cool. I want to know more. So they'll comment. You probably get a lot of private messages too at the same time, don't you?
Yeah, you get a handful. I mean, so, you know, I've turned it into a bit of a science. I've observed that like for every one post with my style, you know, the amount of leverage that I have, the amount of testimonials and proof of concept that I've got with what I do now, you know, I will get about 3 to 4 messages.
Wow.
For every post. For every 10 posts, that means, you know, 30 to 40. And I've found that like it only takes like 5 or 6 messenger conversations to get a really solid meeting with somebody who genuinely is looking for help. So if I wanted to add another $10,000 a month to my business, I would have to go out and make about 15 posts.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, I've reverse engineered the math. You want to get to a point where you just know your numbers like that, so you can just turn it all into a science. And so you know, we have our own programs where we teach people, you know, using these methods to sell for selling their B2B services. And that's what I teach. And we have a spreadsheet that people can fill out, and it like does the math automatically for them of how many posts they have to make to get to their goal.
That's incredible. Okay, so imagine you're talking to somebody right now. Let you, you know, say, let's say that I'm somebody that wants to grow my business. What are some of the things that you would tell me to do? Obviously, I go out and maybe find where my people are, those Facebook groups, those LinkedIn groups, and then just start being involved in there.
Well, I mean, it's a good way to get your foot wet, but once you've got capital, I mean, once you have, I'd say at least 20,000, and you're able to, you can have a safety net of about 20,000. And it sounds like a lot maybe for a beginner, but you know, when you've been in it for a while, 20,000 is a good amount to start with for like an ad campaign of some kind. Mm-hmm. And if you really, if you think you've got a lot of confidence in your campaign, you can do 10, but 20 is a really good net. Okay. You know, so I would say, you know, it's honestly for you, man, I would take a look at like, you know, where your money is going, because I want to create kind of like a feedback loop for my clients of success, becoming success, becoming success. And, mm-hmm. you know, in order for a loop to happen, there has to be some form of leverage. So testimonials, reputation are two huge forms of leverage. Yep. But not a lot of marketers are really good at turning capital back into clients. And, you know, that's one thing that I've just thrown, like I've thrown $80,000 of my own money, Ryan, at like ad campaigns, figuring out how can I consistently turn money into clients. And I've just got one solid funnel that I use for all of our clients. It's just a landing page, then a video. If they like what they're learning on the video, they can schedule a call. And then I train my clients on a script. Wow. So if I were to work with you, it'd be something like that. We'd look at your best offer. We'd look at your best thing that you've got for sale. And we'd try and build that funnel out. And I found that it takes about $120 to $300 per sales call. And even one out of 10, that's still a $1,200 per sale. If you've got a $5,000 offer, it's worth doing. You can take them yourself or put a sales guy on board. I would show my clients how to do that. So that's incredible. I'm just fixing your client issue as best as I possibly can, you know, and then need more help, I can also help them with the structure of their offers, because my goal is that every client has at least one six-figure profit month. And I see that being reasonable by just turning their client problem into a capital problem instead of an influence problem, or these immeasurable things like how do I get my, you know, like Facebook group to rank more. It's like you're submitting the state of your business to like an algorithm. I'd rather just throw money at it and solve the problem that way. And granted, hopefully you've got a really good product in the back of that so that you're not just scamming strangers. You've got a really solid thing built. So
that's good. So who is your ideal? And who are you? We always talk about it's important to have. I loved how you started with the wedding photography and you've started to move over to another niche and you found your way now. And guys, that's just another quick thing is just get started somewhere. You didn't have it nailed down this, you know, working with these coaches. It's always a process of honing and figuring out, ooh, this is exactly, I'm getting closer and closer and closer to that, those exact clients that I feel like I'm called to serve. How did that process evolve from, and who is your ideal client? Who are like for the people listening right now, they're thinking, man, I want to work with him. Who do you feel like you can serve the best right now?
Gosh, I mean, anybody who has a solid B2B or B2C offer that is at least a four-figure offer that they be like, they could see either selling over the phone or, you know, just they don't have a clear sales process right now. Like they've got testimonial results and they're just so good at what they do. They're like an expert that is genuinely really freaking good at what they do, but they've just never built like a streamlined sales process. They've never like just been able to turn on a button and like everything just kind of works. Like right now I've got a really talented sales guy that I've spent a lot of time training. His name's Brendan, and he closes 25% of the meetings that I get. I have to pay $200 to get him a meeting. We have a $4,000 offer we're selling. So it's just like, everything cranks. So, you know, when you get to that point, now granted, that's a total dream. It's taken me like a year of hands-on constant work to get there, but I can help people start that process and show them how to get there. That's, I mean, anybody who's really got a solid offer and they're maybe a good coach or they've got a great program, and they've just gotten tons of results with it. You know, and I like to keep it very simple with my clients. Like, you know, if you don't have a lot of results or you have a product that you're just slinging just to make money and it doesn't really bring the sorts of results that you're saying it can, then I don't want to work with you. It has to be something with full integrity that is like really freaking good, because then, you know, the problem with having a bad product is if I market you, we're actually just showing more people that you're bad quicker. So I'm actually hurting you.
Right. So that's true.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That is awesome. So I'll have a link in the show notes, guys, streamsofincomeradio.com for if you want to hook up with Trey and get on a call just to explore whether, you know, he's a fit for you and you're a fit for him. So, yeah, that's so cool. I love this. So on the conference, your dad said something that just struck me, and you agreed with him on it. And one of the big reasons why I wanted to chat with you, and it comes back to some of the stuff we hear from Rabbi Lappin. Rabbi Daniel Lappin wrote the book, Business Secrets from the Bible and Thou Shalt Prosper. And your dad said, so Trey, it sounds like your business is all about conversations and relationships. And you're like, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. You went in a little bit further on that. Let's talk about that. Cause that I found that to be totally the case in my time in business. And I know you have too, and it's how you're getting clients, but what's that mean to you?
Dude, I mean, I think conversations and relationships, you know, I think every interaction you have with somebody either is a negative or a positive interaction. There's no like, mm-hmm. there's no neutral interactions with anyone, right? Mm-hmm. And when you believe in what you've got to bring and you've seen it change lives and you're just excited to bring it to people, you know, it's impossible. Like you want to have an offer that's impossible not to talk about.
Right.
You know, like that's where you want to be, you know, like all the best business people in the world, they identify so closely with what they do. It's not this like side hustle. It's like, it's a part of themselves. Even the Hebrews, you know, and Lappin would tell you this, like their last names represented their line of work, you know. Not sure I want to know what Cockrum is, but you know, last names typically represent line of work, right? So that said, you know, it's like owning what you do and bringing it to the market in such a way where it's like you're answering questions by referencing what you do. And you know, when people are concerned, you like bring up what you do to comfort them. And you're like, you know, we could help you with it in this way. Like just owning how you operate. And when you have conversations with people and what you do is kind of this like piece of yourself and not this like side hustle, not this like, you know, like I love the word income stream, but it can also hurt the identity part of things. Like if you don't identify with your income stream, then there's going to be some misalignment. So the first step is to really align with what you do. The second step is when you're having conversations, bring value through the lens of what you do and answer questions through the lens of somebody who specializes in what you do. So like, for example, Ryan, if you were to call me one day and say, all right, Trey, you know what, we've got like this much in the bank, we're trying to do this, these are our goals, what do you think? I'm like, well, I'm gonna answer all those questions through the lens of how I operate and the way that I consult my clients. So then naturally the next step would for you would be like, well, I kind of like what Trey's got to offer. I think he's got a good thing. I'd love to consider it. And I'd make you a quote and give you a month to think about it. You know, it's just like very simple ways of doing business. So I think the first step is identifying with what you do. The next step is genuinely caring to see people succeed through the way that you do things. And also, you know, having something that when fully implemented into somebody's business or their life is something that you're excited to see. And then having conversations is a very natural thing. Like, you know, with my, like one of our top clients right now, his name's Luke Voigt. He's had like, gosh, at this point, he's had multiple $10,000 profit days since working with us. And he, his whole business was knocked out due to COVID. So he was working with construction companies. It's a really interesting story, actually. He's working with construction companies. They all bailed because he was only doing local work and he'd never known how to expand. And I said, dude, you just need to build an ad campaign, take on clients through sales calls. And he followed our blueprint for the funnel, built it, took some sales calls. And he's, I think he's like $40,000 to $50,000 a month again, which was back where he was, but it's more stable now because it's global. It's anybody and everybody. And not only that, but his clients are paying him upfront in some cases. So he's taking these $10,000 to $20,000 checks just like over the phone. So it's a really crazy story. And the way that I interact with him is through the lens of what I do and the lens of what he does. Like it's just a relationship of this huge mutual value. Like he's a really powerful testimonial for me to share. And he benefits tons from my services. So there's just this mutual value and this mutual respect and appreciation because of what we both bring to the table. So I think conversations and relationships really to me means identifying with what you do. Believing in it, being inspired to continue to produce better and better results for clients or people that work with you. And when you're speaking with people, hearing where they want to get and mapping the relationship between what their goals are to what you do. Because if you can come in and say, hey, you want to get here, I can help speed up that process or make it happen. Or I can see you have some doubt in your ability to get there. If we plug you into this, it might be easier. This is why I've trained Brendan, our sales guy, to do three simple things. Identify where someone is, identify where they want to get, and identify what's stopping them from doing it themselves. You can do those things on these calls. We have the sale. It just comes down to how badly the client wants it. No other variable. It doesn't come down to our offer. It doesn't come down to anything other than how badly they want to make that change. Because we don't really sell a service. We sell a transformation in somebody's business and their life at the end of the day.
That's good. Say that again. We don't really sell a service. We're selling a transformation in somebody's life.
And yep, exactly. That's exactly it. We don't sell services or courses or products. We sell outcomes and transformations.
Yep.
And so when I'm on the phone with somebody, the reason I can command, you know, let's say a $15,000 price tag to really, in reality, just build a funnel. I don't feel any ethics there because they're paying to solve a huge problem for themselves. And they'd rather throw 15 grand at it than find some guy on Fiverr and pay them 50 bucks. You know, they want somebody that fully trusts them.
Great point.
You know.
Yep.
So
you know, there's a.
I'm not just.
No, go ahead. You're not just what? Keep going. Yeah.
No, I'm not just building the funnel. I'm helping them create a new life. Like people, like the economy ticks because people have this vision of themselves that they want to have and they're trying to buy it. And so if you can come in and support somebody's vision with your offer, that's when you've got a really, really solid thing going.
Mm, that is so good. I think it was Josh Tolley, the author of Evangelpreneur, that said he had lunch with somebody, called him up and wanted to have lunch and he didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And so he charged an insane amount for that lunch. I think it was $8,000. And the person said, done, let's do it. So he had lunch with them. At the end of the lunch, sorry, Josh, if I butcher this up here, but essentially he said, why in the world did you pay $8,000 for this lunch? I mean, it could have been like 100. I would have done it for like 150. And the lady gave him some wisdom right. That was incredible to him at the time. And she said, Josh, say something like, I think it was like, I have like an $8 million problem. Somebody who charges $150 for my lunch. She said it was too expensive. 150, it was too expensive. Because mm-hmm. I have an $8 million problem. As somebody charging me $150 for this lunch is not going to be able to fix an $8 million problem. I need somebody that I'm paying $8,000 for to fix my $8 million problem. And so it's not about that funnel. It's you're exactly right. They're buying that outcome, and somebody who charges $50, maybe they can build the same funnel, but they're not going to give the same level of service. It's just going to be different. It's not going to be anywhere near what you're
yep.
able to provide for them.
Yep. So, A marketer's best talent is to understand the core desires of the market and just be able to relate everything back to those desires in a really subtle but effective way. Like yeah. everybody wants more money and everybody wants more freedom. Mm-hmm. Like not to get super hedonistic with you, but you know, most sure. people got into business because they wanted more money and that's the thing, you know? Yeah. And so you have to know how to market that with a certain level of, you know, diligence and integrity.
Yeah.
And if you can say, you know, this is what we've got and we're able to grow businesses and here's how we do it and we'll help you in this way. And it just comes down to, you know, how badly do they, or do they not want more money, or how badly do they or do they not want more growth in their business?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really interesting thing, man. It's one of the things that I do for my clients is I figure out like how their offer could hit better. So like one of our clients, Kyle Dindy, was selling an ebook for 40 bucks that I turned into a course that he was able to sell for $2,000. Mm. I was like, you know, how can we take this information and position it in such a way that people will pay $2,000 for it instead of 40 bucks? And he's like, it's just an ebook. I'm like, but no, it's not. So you record it in video format, and we instead of talking about what's included, we talk about the outcome of what you could get if you fully implement this stuff.
Yeah.
And he helps people go full-time with their speaking careers. So people that want to go full-time, like you want to go full-time, what's 40 bucks? You want to go full-time, $2,000 sounds a bit more like it. Like if you really want to make a six-figure income as a speaker, like are you really going to pay any less than $2,000 to somebody who's done it themselves and proven the process to help you become a full-time speaker?
Yeah.
So then we built a small presentation, have people book calls with the sales guy. The sales guy takes 10%. So he's profiting 1800 after ads, which is probably like 1400. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a pretty sweet little funnel he's got on.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. I love it. Do you have anybody just off top? Do you have anybody that ever like gets on a call with you or sees you on video and like, dude, how old are you? And wonders like, you know, do they ever wonder like, gosh, I wonder how is he able to, Has there ever been somebody that wondered if you can deliver? I'm sure now that you have success stories, that's maybe at the beginning this happened earlier on, but now they see your success stories. It doesn't matter if you're five, honestly. But
yeah.
did you ever have to get over that age hurdle?
Yeah. I mean, I learned how to deal with it early on. I'm lucky that I went into like this, high pressure field, like wedding photography is the first thing I did. So like I learned how to deal with it early. You just be self-aware about it. You just kind of joke about the fact that they just paid that much money and then they crack up and you crack up and you move on. You know, it's just not that big a deal. Because at the end of the day, you know, you can help them.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Really the only thing that people take to are things that they're concerned are true themselves. So I had to look in the mirror and wonder, should I take offense to that? Do I believe it's true that I can't help people? No, I don't. There's no cell in my body that feels like I can't help people because I'm young.
Yeah.
You know? So if I did think that, then maybe I would be offended by it because it's speaking some truth to me that I haven't quite accepted. But I know that that's not the case. So when somebody says that, I can just joke about it with them. And kind of, they're like, so they're like, man, you're 20. I'm like, yeah, what the heck are you doing, man? You know, and I just kind of make fun of them, you know? You know? And then and we won.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
That is awesome. What advice do you have for somebody getting started in their business, or maybe especially if they're young and they're thinking, gosh, I want to do what he's doing. Finding my way in business. But I feel like, you know, I don't know, I'm too young or maybe I'm too old. And,
and dude, you're not too anything for anything. Like I am too X for X. Like just that thought in general, like is just such a, it's the enemy. Honestly, that's the role that sin plays.
Yeah.
Is it like gets you to question everything. So yeah, this did not come easy. So even having an entrepreneurial father and even having this perfect environment for everything, you know, I think people look and they're like, man, like, you know, it's like the perfect environment for you to be bred with him. But dude, the things I had to jump through, man, like it has been very hard to really.
This is totally different than what your dad does. Like this is not even guys, yeah, just for you listening, thinking, oh, well, he learned all this from, you definitely learned from your dad, but your business is nothing like your dad's business. So it's like you've completely charted your own path.
Yeah, and there's definitely some core ideas that stay the same, you know, just have integrity and you know, collect testimonials and these sorts of ideas. But yeah, it is very different. And I think, you know, it's important for me to make that distinction because I don't want people to feel like, oh, his dad, so therefore I can't. I hate that. Like, and I don't get that anywhere else. It's only under dad's bubble that people give me that excuse. Everywhere else, like my friends, you know, I inspire them to go on and they do it.
Yeah.
But because my dad is who he is, it's a very interesting thing for me to balance. And I want to just kind of call it out and say, like, obviously he's helped a lot. Like as a spiritual and emotional mentor, he's been amazing.
Sure.
But dude, there's loopholes that everybody has to jump through. We're all on an equal playing field.
Absolutely.
And I think Google, you're your best friend, and you know, don't use I am not X as an excuse. You are not anything. You are not a static thing. Right. So you don't have to be any one way. You can kind of choose what you get to be. That's the beauty of free will.
Yeah.
You know, you can either like there's a Freudian psychology and there's Jungian psychology. You know, Freudian says you are the way you are. The way you were raised is the way you are. Jungian says you've got total free will. And so I'd recommend honestly studying Carl Jung and some of his philosophies and his psychological studies and the ways that he presents the ideas of the subconscious and the conscious brain and their relationship to one another, because there are certain messages that you feed yourself that you're not even realize you're feeding yourself. Like, you know, for example, $10,000 a month with my business is impossible. Like you might be saying that without realizing, and you're kind of making that the reality. One of the things I was telling myself that I had to get over is like, until I'm 30, I don't have to make $1 million a year. Like, why would I make $1 million a year until I'm 30? But like, now I realize like I can make $1 million a year with just like 2 or 3 hard moves in the next year, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, why stop? Right. And when you start to question these presuppositions that you've made about yourself, the world kind of just opens up.
It does. I love it. On the conference, you mentioned some books that have been kind of helpful to you. You want to go, do you remember what some of those were? Because I think my audience will be interested in those.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, the one most related to the topic that I was just speaking about was Psycho-Cybernetics. And it's by a guy named Dr. Maxwell Maltz. And I had my dad read it. And it was so cool because he was like, yeah, like, I feel like I've known this stuff for a long time, but never really put it into words. I'm like,
yeah,
same here. It's just like, basically, it flips the idea that, you know, you do who you are into what you do becomes who you are, and you have total control over what you do. It's not you do who you are, and who you are is a given. It's you can flip that. He just talks about that really in depth, and you know, it's basically like this idea that you are not a stagnant, static being with one way of living. You can flip it all around. You can choose your identity. It's really cool stuff. And to me, it's very biblical, and it's actually written by a Christian
totally
author.
Biblical.
He was a plastic. Yeah, super biblical stuff. He was a Christian. He is a Christian, and he was a plastic surgeon who would perform huge changes on people's faces and stuff, and then wonder why they don't feel any different. And he was like, there's only so much I can do with a scalpel. Like, how do I actually help these people? And he starts getting in depth into the psychology of the self and identity psychology. Wow. And so he goes from being a plastic surgeon to being an identity psychologist because he realizes that that's the true way he can help people feel better about who they are. Mm. It's not by changing their nose, it's by changing the way, changing what they see when they look in the mirror.
That's good.
And you'll never do more or less than your identity allows you to do. So most of my work, honestly, has been on like how I view myself.
Yeah.
And I've just let it emanate out into my business. Like, if you can fix the way you look at yourself, everything changes. So that's one of my favorite books of all time.
Yeah.
Besides that, like, you know, I don't read a lot of business books. I really read a lot of books on that topic and like self-development. And I kind of let it play a role in my business.
Yeah.
The only like really good business book that I would recommend is The E-Myth. Talks about how to go from doing everything in your business to kind of running it and being an operator. And that's been a huge thing for me. Like, it's very tempting as an entrepreneur, especially a digital entrepreneur on your laptop, to just do everything.
Right.
But you don't even realize how much of a cap you're creating. You're in your own way at that point.
Totally. Because at the point you're doing some things, you probably like, at the beginning, you kind of do everything, but then you quickly want to move to where you are now, where you have a team. You said 4 people. Is that right? That help you out that you said on the conference and that are doing these other things. So you can focus on the things that you're really good at, that you enjoy doing, that brings the most value to the business. And you let everybody else do their role and it just works out better. And you end up, your business ends up being way better.
Yeah, exactly. And I found myself in the role of promoter and, team manager. So like I promote, like I run ads, I do podcasts, I am on YouTube, you know, stuff like that. And then I, you know, manage the team and their mental state and their spiritual state. Like if I do those two things, honestly, Ryan, if I stick to doing those two things diligently for another year, I will have $1 million a year business. Like, we're just on trajectory to do it.
Absolutely.
And it's just, I wake up, I probably work 4 or 5 hours a day, maybe. And I just keep myself, you know, getting in my own way. Like, that's the challenge. It's not even doing anything huge. It's just staying out of your own way is the challenge. Those are 2 really good books. And the last one I would recommend if you want some more is, I believe it's called Outliers. It might be like, I think it's like a Malcolm Gladwell book, Outliers or Outsiders or something like that. I forget the exact name, but I bet you by Googling something along the lines of what I've just said, you'll be able to find it.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's this book on how people who don't originate from an industry actually have an advantage in that industry. And because a lot of industries are kind of this bubble where everybody kind of just does what everybody's doing. And like, you know, the internet marketer industry is kind of that way. Like everybody kind of just like, it's like a bunch of the same, you know, and that's cool. Like you can make a lot of money modeling people and that's totally fine. But if you want to have like true freedom, you have to look at the connections between things and why things are the way they are and question everything. And so, you know, I've had this really unique advantage, and this is one of the advantages that I will definitely admit that I've had, being able to watch my dad's business grow. And I've just seen like, you know, all these huge spikes and dips and the craziness and the effects of and everything. And I'm like, I can take this objective look at his business even and say like, I'd probably do this differently and this differently. And I wonder why he's doing it this way. And oh, this doesn't make sense. And, you know, I've been able to watch the industry and have some really cool friends and see how they're running their businesses. But you know, having an outsider perspective and just questioning everything, like why do we need to launch a new product every quarter? Why do we need to, like, why can't we just have one really good product and just run that forever? Like, that's one thing I've really thought about, like proven Amazon course for dad is that example. But for me, I'm like, I want like one $10,000 offer that I sell for the next 10 years. Like what does that look like? And how do I create one process and one offer And how do I just scale that to the moon instead of doing a launch every quarter or something like that? And
that's good.
Then also, like, how do I just, instead of making tons of content constantly, turn everything into a process? Like, you know, I want to have my own method. So outliers really helped me realize, like, don't draw assumptions from other people just because they look like they're doing it right on the surface. Right. You want to really question everything.
That's good.
So if you question everything, build a business instead of become a technician, and then work on identity. You know, this is my three favorite books. I think you've got a really solid trajectory ahead of you.
You do. Man, this is good. We could talk for hours. I know you got a busy day. You probably got clients to talk to, but I appreciate you being on with me, Trey. This is really good stuff, and would love to have you on again to dig into some of these other topics, and just fascinating. And again, absolutely, it's fun seeing, I've been around your family for a few years now, and just seeing your success and your brothers and sisters. It's, you know, it's not, you know, I love what your mom said too. You probably, because she always talks at the end or has a workshop for the conference talking about family and all that, and saying it's not about, you know, because you're the entrepreneur of the family, doesn't mean like you're the favorite or anything. It's like, you've just found your calling, your purpose, and your brothers and sisters will do the exact same thing, whether they become entrepreneurs or not. It doesn't matter. It's just,
there's no hierarchy. Like, I look up to Abe in massive ways. Like, there's certainly, you know, there's some things, like, I think it's interesting how the internet works, man. It's all highlights. Like, you know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that goes down, and you know, and not only that, but, like, you know, the businesses are just crazy sometimes, and it's all just wild. And at the end of the day, like, it comes down to who people are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't really know who people are through the internet, and you don't really see who they fully are. And it's one of the flaws of it. It's just a flaw in the system.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's certain things that Chase does. I'm just like, dude, I would give up everything that I've achieved in my business to have that character trait. Like, and there's certain things that Zane is capable of that I really wish I would be capable of at 17. And I'm just like, honestly, I can be like jealous. Like, quick, dude, if I had that at 17, like, dang. So there's just certain things, you know. There's no, by no means is being the entrepreneur put me in a special light in any way other than maybe the attention that MSD gives me. Besides that, I mean, it's, you know, it's, and even outside of MSD, like, honestly, MSD takes up probably 5% of my mental space, maybe 2%. Sure. Like, I've got my own, you know,
I love it.
And I will swing in for the conference, swing in for podcast interviews, whatever dad wants me to do, whatever you guys want me to do. I'm happy to serve the team. But then I'm just back to my world. You know,
I love it, man. So proud of you, man. Yeah. Love what you've accomplished. And oh, guys, and he didn't go to college. We could have a whole podcast episode about that topic if we wanted to. Probably one on my podcast. But
homeschool, high school dropout. I've got a buddy who's a high school dropout, and he's done pretty well. And I'm like, I can run up. Yeah, I'm a homeschool high school dropout. Even worse.
Oh man, well, super cool. I love seeing that you're doing, you're in your wheelhouse doing what God's called you to do. And I love it. I know your parents are proud of you, and just thanks for taking the time to be on my podcast, my friend.
Yeah. Anytime, dude. Have me back on whenever.
Let's do it. All right. Hey, stick around real quick and we'll chat for a second and I'll let everybody else go. Thanks, buddy.
You've been listening to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. From right here in the Dallas Metroplex, Ryan teaches several entrepreneurial courses and group coaching programs to students all over the world. Be sure to listen next week at the same time for Streams of Income with Ryan Rieger.